Chapter 3. The Den. It was ferociously hot. And he was still alive. Those were the first thoughts that came to Fred as he opened his eyes and found himself staring straight up at the Brazilian sun. Instinctively, he looked down at his wristwatch. But the face was cracked and the minute hand had fallen off. The two girls were asleep next to him. Both of them were covered in blood and scabs, but they were breathing easily. Con had her thumb in her mouth. There were a host of dragonflies in blues and reds dancing around them. He thought they might be attracted to the blood. But there was no sign of the little boy. Max was missing. "Max!" Fred whispered, jumping to his feet. There was no answer, no movement, except for the burr of the dragonfly wings. Fred's heart started to pound. "Max!" he called louder. Lila stirred in her sleep. He ran to the edge of the trees. There was no trace of the boy. "Max!" he roared wildly, staring around.
"What?"
Max looked up. He was lying on his stomach beside some fern-like plants, next to a vile-smelling puddle, splashing his fingers in the water.
"Max!"
Fred ran over to him.
"You haven't been drinking that water, have you?"
Max stared up at Fred as he approached, then shut his eyes and let out a scream that shook the baby flesh in his cheeks. Across the clearing, Lila gave a yell as she started to wake.
"That's not very flattering," said Fred to Max,
but it was possible, he reckoned, that covered in blood and soot and with less eyebrow than usual, he didn't look very reassuring. The boy kept screaming, barely drawing any breath. Lila jumped to her feet.
"Max," she called, "what's happening?"
"Sugar," he thought. He knew you should give people sugar when they're in shock.
"Do you want a sweet?"
He had some mint humbugs in his pocket.
"Please stop crying."
He fished his sweets out. His hand came out wet. There was a cut on his thigh, and the mints had spent the night marinating in it. He grimaced and put one in his mouth. The taste hadn't been improved, but the sugar gave his blood a twitch.
"Do you want one of these?"
Fred spat on the corner of his shirt and polished one of the mints clean.
"It's a mint."
"No, I hate mints," said Max.
"It's the only food I've got."
"Oh, then I'll take it," said Max.
He said it like a lord accepting his bread.
"Here," said Fred. He put it in the boy's sticky hand. "Eat it slowly if you can."
Max sucked loudly. His nose began to run, down past his lips and onto his chin.
"Max," Lila called. "Come here." "Come on," said Fred.
The boy's face was intent on working on the mint, his eyebrows furrowed in concentration. He looked sad. Fred felt his chest tighten, but all he could think to say was,
"You should probably blow your nose."
"I don't blow my nose,"
said Max. They walked, both limping, towards Lila.
"That's not a thing I do."
"I think you should."
"No."
Max licked the snot off his upper lip and added it to his mouthful of mint. Five-year-olds were not easy to argue with, Fred thought. Max had a sweep of dirt encrusted on his cheek and his eyebrows turned up at the corners. It gave his face a mischievous look. Fred hooked his finger into Max's shirt collar to steer him from the thorns and what looked like rabbit droppings. The ground was mossy, speckled with patches of grass. One of the trees had scarlet flowers that had fallen and carpeted the forest floor in red. Sitting among the flowers under the bright white sun, Lila and Con were arguing.
"You, boy, what's your name? Fred," called Con. "Come and tell this girl she's completely
completely wrong.
She thinks, began Lila, flushing.
Obviously, I think we should go and wait near the plane, said Con, in case they see us from the air, so they can rescue us.
It makes more sense to stay here, said Lila.
She pulled her knees up to her chin.
We just get lost, trying to find our way back. And I don't think anyone will see the plane. They don't know where we crashed. They'll have to search the entire jungle. We are on our own.
She fixed her eyes on a dandelion-looking plant, fierce and unblinking.
We'll have to find a way to get to Manao ourselves.
Fred looked at the girl. She had a scratch across one side of her face, and her hair was woven into two dark plaits. One of them had been charred in the crash. She wore a scarlet skirt and a blood-red top, both now stained grey-green. She looked about his age. She was scowling at Con. Con glared back.
That's crazy! We need to stay near the plane and wait to be rescued. My family will have sent dozens of planes to search for us by now. 100 planes, probably.
But, said Lila, where we crashed is burned by the fire. Half the trees are charcoal. And there'll be no animals.
We don't need animal friends, said Con. This isn't a fairy tale.
For us to eat, finished Lila. And back there, there's...
What? Said Con.
There's the pilot.
He's dead, said Con.
She seemed genuinely puzzled.
He can't hurt us.
Lila spoke very quietly, but Fred was surprised by how serious she sounded.
We should make camp here.
No, said Con. That's completely illogical.
Fred? Asked Lila. You get the deciding vote.
No, he doesn't, said Con. That's not fair. One person shouldn't get to decide.
She glared at Fred from foot to chin.
Not unless he agrees with me.
Fred looked around the clearing again. The air was fresh here and the sky above them was a blue that just doesn't exist in England. He was just about to answer when he saw that at the far end, where the forest grew thick and tangled, four trees had fallen together, their tops meeting in a point. The very tips of the hairs on the back of Fred's neck began to rise.
Do you think there's anything odd about this clearing? He said. That's not an answer to the question, said Con.
Why?
Asked Lila.
Those trees, he said. Over there,
he pointed.
What about them? They fell over, said Con. That's what trees do.
But they don't look like they fell to me, said Fred.
He ran across the clearing. A sense was rising in him that something was strange. His curiosity pushed aside his fear. The largest of the trees was immense. Its trunk was as thick and tall as Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. Three smaller trees leant against the thicker one. Each had grown a few feet from the next in a rough square, their branches entwined and darkened by green creepers.
Leave it alone, Fred, called Con. Stay in the open.
There's something odd here.
He ran his hand down one of the smaller trees. At the base was a mess of fern-like plants and a few mushrooms. He pushed the ferns down and felt his stomach swoop. The three smaller trees didn't have roots. They were logs, 15 feet high, carefully tipped against the central tree. He could see where they had been hacked with an axe or a machete. Ferns had grown, or been planted, Fred thought, at their base to disguise where the cuts were shown.
Den, breathed Fred. What did you say? Called Con.
Fred pushed at the vines that stretched between each of the logs.
It's like a tent, said Fred. A den.
He bent down, ready to push past the foliage.
No, don't go in there,
said Con. It came in a burst.
It's not that I'm scared, but please don't. It's not a reasonable risk.
Fred stared at her. A what? He had never in his life considered whether a risk was reasonable. It sounded something like his principal would say.
There could be anything in there. Jaguars or snakes or rats,
said Con.
Well, I can't not look,
said Fred, astonished.
She might be right, though, said Lila, about the snakes. Be careful.
I'll look,
said Max grandly, jumping to his feet.
No, you absolutely won't,
said Lila, grabbing his wrist.
You're staying right here.
Fred pushed aside the vines hanging down between the logs.
Ugh!
He winced. Some of the tendrils had tiny but vicious thorns. They'd caught in one of his cuts. He brushed away another handful of vines and froze. His heart, which hadn't stopped beating since the crash, quickened to triple speed. The trees met to make a tent, high enough for a man to kneel in or for someone Max's height to stand. The air smelt deep green. There was a spider web in one corner, and below it was a pile of banana leaves stacked a dozen leaves thick in the shape of a sleeping mat.